to Redemption, the podcast designed to save the planet. In today's episode, we dive into California's pioneering efforts towards sustainability. This special California-centric episode focuses on the initiatives of CalRecycle, California's Department of Resources, Recycling, and Recovery, and advancing materials management practices. CalRecycle is working to implement California's Senate Bill 54, which establishes the Plastic Pollution Prevention and Packaging Producer Responsibility Act. This sets ambitious standards for reducing single-use packaging and strengthening extended producer responsibility. Earlier this year, I sat down with Clara Vazex, Deputy Director of Policy and Developmental Analysis, Mindy McIntyre, Chief Deputy Director, and Crystal Acerto, Deputy Secretary for Public Policy at CalRecycle. We discussed the successes, challenges, and future initiatives that make California a great model for environmental policy in the U.S. Let's dive right in. Please excuse any background noise as this interview was recorded live. So for the listeners, maybe you can outline a few of the outcomes that you're working towards in California that you would hope to see.
First response is just addressing the full cycle of the recycling process. So we've been talking now for a few days about how we focus on like collection only. A lot of our regulations have been focused on that, but we want to make sure we go through all the different phases of the recycling cycle to make sure the product is actually being recycled, right? And we also want to focus on definitions, so harmonizing the definition of recycling and what it actually means, whether it's in California or out of the state, something that I think is really important that we focus on.
Just adding on to what Clara is saying, circular economy is where we want to go. And in the past, we've been very focused on just the California aspect, but you can't really get to our overall goals if you're not looking at what's happening globally, because we're part of a global market, right? A lot of the products that come into California are made for the entire United States or the entire North America. And a lot of the effort we have on the waste collection side and to avoid waste really requires remanufacturing that isn't always in California. In fact, the majority of the time we recognize it isn't. So having policies that look at all of those components are really important, from product design all the way to remanufacturing. And that's where a global tree, to your point as well, would be very helpful. So having standardized definitions of recycling, making sure that there are strong commitments to not have impacts on public health, those are things we can't do on our own. And when we send away products to other markets, we need to make sure that there is a global understanding that those types of impacts are not going to be felt globally. And what we're doing in California isn't actually having a harmful impact elsewhere, but is actually a part of the solution.
Picking up on the Senate Bill SB 54, so this is a framework that sets ambitious standards for reducing single-use plastic and advancing EPR. Our listeners will know California is one of the largest economies and markets in the world, so it has that ability to move the market. And even though EPR has been around in Canada and Europe for decades, it seems to be one of those policies that's getting better with age as people sort of learn what's working, what's not. So I'm curious to hear how CalRecycle is looking to leverage these state policies, you know, at the international level, and whether it be in conversations with the industry or just in the sort of general conversation of establishing this culture of EPR within industry, and then obviously getting that socialized with more American government folks, and kind of what your experience is like there.
Yeah, I think SB 54 is like really almost forcing, in a good way, just a really strong partnership with the industry. We set up the goals, but they have to take care of like how do we meet those goals, right? So I think that's the biggest lessons that we are learning right now and navigating, and it's the folks that we're meeting in California are very motivated and they want to comply. Like a lot of them want to agree with the goals and are just trying to find the ways to get to those goals. We see a lot of companies that they've accepted that this is where we're going and they're just trying to find a path. And a lot of that comes with them researching the technology, the financial initiatives that they need, the push that they need from the state or from the market, generally speaking, on how to just get to those goals. And that's something I think that we can share with other states within the U.S., just like those lessons. So we see a lot of them are very proactive with us through 54.
How about on the packaging reduction side of things and reuse, for example? That's very commonplace in Europe.
Right.
In the US, we're sort of starting from square one. So infrastructure is needed, financing and incentives, and of course there's carrot and stick approach. And I think, as you say, like, the industry will figure it out. They have a willingness and maybe they have the means to do so, especially if there's clear expectations. What's the best case scenario in terms of how that unfolds?
Yeah, I think sometimes what's needed is just connecting and coordinating the industry. We know some businesses that want to be involved in the reuse system. A lot of it has to do with glass. Right now, that's supposed to voice their interest, but reuse can be done for any waste stream or a lot of waste stream. And sometimes they're just not aware of where to get the technology, what other companies are doing it. So sometimes we're just having a role of coordinating and informing those different folks, and also to understand what is needed from them to develop their infrastructure or have a place in the Caribbean market. Ideally, we'd like to have local system and local infrastructure, right? Talking about what we experienced so far, the wine industry in California, which is part of the our beverage container recycling program now, is looking at how to reuse the glass wine bottle. There's an interest there.
California has a lot of wine.
And then going for like smaller pilot projects of showing at a local level how that can be done, then getting spent throughout the state. As basic as it sounds, I feel like sometimes it's just getting them connected to the industry, the technologies, other companies, and it's an opportunity for Care Recycle here to play a role. We're pushing for this. This is something on the agenda that we'd like to have way more developed, and I think we have the tools for it.
Yeah, I think that's really the beauty of, and SB54 at its core is an EPR program, right? And I think that's really the beauty of going the EPR route is they don't want to be the first coming to the table, which I think is also the importance of various pilot programs, and that's a way that CalRecycle can be supporting building out, like you said, the infrastructure. But that's really, in my mind, the beauty of the EPR program is it really sets kind of an even playing ground, which, as Mindy talked about, is incredibly important for moving industry forward. But it also provides flexibility. And I think that's a really key component of any EPR program, is to allow industry to adapt within the guide rails that are provided by legislation or our regulations that allow them to innovate and come up with the best solution that's going to work within that specific industry. So CalRecycle has a long history compared to others in terms of implementing EPR programs. So there's been a lot of lessons learned that we're incorporating into SB 54 on the plastic side. But what works for one industry is not going to work for another industry. And with California, we've got kind of the full scale too. So even within plastics, what works for one company may not work for another. And so I think that that's part of it, but also the scale. So you mentioned reuse and some of the infrastructure. Yes, we want things to happen at the local level, but if you're not building things out at scale, it's not going to be effective, especially in the reuse space. And I think Mindy talked a little bit about that, and Clara, in terms of like the global nature, it's not going to work unless you're building things out at scale.
Yeah, I mean, we can learn a lot from countries, other jurisdictions like Quebec, that have been doing reuse, because as you say, California actually hasn't been doing reuse very well. There aren't programs at scale. And as Crystal's saying, when you have EPR, then you have standardization. You can have convenience for consumers, because we've learned that if it's not convenient, people won't use it. And fortunately or unfortunately, the way we live involves a lot of packaging and single use or one use, and then not wanting to wash it themselves. They want to be able to just deliver it to somebody else and then have that done. So those systems are being figured out. And that's the interesting thing. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to come up with a reuse scheme for California. There are those that are already out there. And as Crystal's saying, when those companies can see what works for them or what doesn't, and what works for shampoo might not work for coffee. So figuring out and allowing the industry to develop those solutions on their own is very important. The other thing that EPR does is it shifts the industry's interest in data and information and verification, because they will not be able to get credit, again, for their source reduction, their reuse, or their recycling, unless they can demonstrate to us that they're actually achieving those goals. So rather than fighting data, they actually have an interest now in making sure that we have that information and they demonstrate, again, that they're achieving these goals. And so I think that's been a shift and very, very helpful for us.
And it goes both ways. I mean, they need that data, too, for their own corporate commitments.
Right.
And I'm sure as they develop reuse solutions, they're going to want to know how consumers react to it.
Yes.
And that data is going to inform refining these approaches.
that's also what I wanted to get, is a lot of different pieces all moving together. And I think the last piece is also the consumer community side of things, where this needs to become a habit. Reuse, recycling needs to become something that consumer wants as well. We have so many programs right now being developed at CareRecycle. It's a great opportunity to also educate the consumer in this cultural shift, really, of doing recycle and reuse. So they also play a part, and we're just trying to push for that too. So there's all moving pieces, but they all hopefully move together at the same time.
Yeah, I think, Ed, to your point, Crystal, some people will say, for some, reuse is the end goal, not EPR, to which we say, if you don't have EPR, how are you going to achieve a reuse system, right? Without the coordination within industry, without pre-competitive coordination and cooperation, but EPR is really the mechanism, at least so far the most effective that I know of, that can really bring people to the table and distribute that obligation amongst the many, right? Otherwise, you end up with one product out there that one company's trying, and then it's just an isolated, as you said, no way that that can scale. And that's what we want to avoid, is these stranded sort of one-offs that aren't really having the impact that we're looking for. So what future initiatives or upcoming policies is CalRecycle considering to further advance California's leadership in circular material management? And how might these initiatives align with the global objectives currently being considered?
We had just a lot of recent legislation passed in all kinds of different waste streams. So e-waste, plastic, beverage container, organics. So we're moving a lot of new pieces and implementing a lot of those. And I don't know if we want to only focus on plastic here, but I do want to talk about e-waste too, because as we know, the fastest growing waste stream in the world currently. And we had a couple of bills passed over the last 2 years, but we, for example, need to tackle EV battery recycling. Mm-hmm. That has not been done. I think the EU is looking at developing a system there, and I believe South Korea, a couple of Asian countries, but I think there's a lot of work to be done in the news. Waste stream, and I think e-waste is going to be way bigger than we even anticipate. I know that the focus is on plastic, rightfully so, but I would say obviously like organics, beverage container, paper as well. I think e-waste is something that will require attention really soon.
I think we'd be remiss not to mention our zero waste plan that we're working on, which is a huge undertaking. When CalRecycle likes to think about circular economy of sort of, it's not just about individual products, but the overall framework that we're moving towards. As Clara mentioned, there's been a ton of legislation in California that's really moving us forward in these different paths. But the Zero Waste Plan is an opportunity for us, one, to look at our baseline, right? And I know that's been talked a lot about in some of the forums here about the need to look at what the data is on the ground in terms of where we're at. We don't have a lot of information in some of these spaces about the baseline in order for us to inform where we're going and what the gap is in order to meet some of these really ambitious goals that are laid out in legislation. So the Zero Waste Plan is an opportunity for us to not just focus on one particular pathway, but really looking at circular economy more holistically and taking our baseline, understanding what those gaps are, and really setting us on a strategic path towards actually meeting some of those goals. So I think that's something we're really excited about that's underway right now.
Having lessons learned from other countries that have already put in place some programs and have some first reporting back on how it's working is helpful. And it's great that we have this state report, and it's absolutely necessary. California legislation, as you may know, is 2 years, right? So we don't need 5 years to pass a new bill. It just goes very fast, and then it lands on our desk, and we're like, to implement this EPR program on this particular waste stream that we don't really know much about. It's also hard to project for some of those waste streams what will be the amount of product or material that's going to come our way as well. So it's a lot going on all at the same time, but I think we have a really strong team, very dedicated leadership that's very motivated.
So the Zero Waste Report gives us that opportunity to really look at. We have a lot of policies in place on tires, used oil, across the board. We have attempted to get towards zero waste, and the report is our opportunity to go back and look at those programs and see what the challenges are to getting to that zero waste and really realign what we're doing and making sure that all of the points on the circular system are addressed in each of those programs.
Lastly, just having international foundational and support helps us towards that too, because we also have more legitimacy in a way towards the legislature, towards consumers. It just adds a great support to our work as well.
Right. Yeah, it really validates a global stage, what you've been doing in many ways ahead of the rest of the U.S.
least in a way that is a model for other states. And it's not just California or a few other states acting in a unique way. It's becoming more of a global cultural norm and expectation.
Waste stream is connecting us to other states and other countries anyway, whether we want it or not.
It's so true. I mean, countries may have very different local governments and economic conditions and a slew of different political considerations, but at the end of the day, many companies are in all these markets. Mm-hmm. So harmonizing the way that they behave, sort of a very elegant approach. It's like we may not even need to rely so much on local government if companies can harmonize their practices according to the baselines being set in Europe or California.
I think the other important piece here is just timeline. We have decisions that are being made, and then there's the time to actually implement, right? PowerCycle is ultimately a regulating entity, and once we have direction, it's great. It sets us on a path, but just also understanding the time that it takes to implement, right? We're in our rulemaking process, and that takes a certain amount of time. We've got the PRO who has to put a plan together. That takes time. Setting a baseline for zero waste, that all takes timelines. So I think it just highlights the importance of urgency in making decisions to start that clock on the implementation side.
Yeah, there's no time like the present to start this stuff because it will take some time.
Thank you for tuning in to the California-focused episode of Redemption. We're not saying that the West Coast is the best coast, but we hope you've gained valuable insights into CalRecycle's approach to material recovery and waste management, as well as the state's leadership in promoting circular economy practices. We also explored the complexities associated with implementing recycling and resource recovery initiatives at the state level. Special thanks to Clara, Mindy, and Crystal from CalRecycle for sharing their perspectives on the opportunities and challenges in promoting recycling, reuse, and zero waste. Remember, California's efforts can inspire and inform other states' initiatives. Stay tuned for more deep dives into environmental developments in the U.S. and beyond as we all work towards building a zero waste world. In the meantime, don't forget to visit bottlebillreimagined.org to download the guide to modern deposit return systems or subscribe to our newsletter, Bottle Bill Common Ground. You can also leave a review on Redemption wherever you listen to your podcasts. And remember, working together from a common ground of knowledge, we can move effective initiatives forward.